Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Willow, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. I am very happy tonight to have in studio, we're doing a show on heritage guitars, and I have Greg DeLordo from Heritage Guitars here. I got a bunch of people here, so I'm just going to go right down the line. My very, very good friend Gary Rodenko from the Amp Shop Bass Exchange. He's here. He's the guy that introduced me to Greg and put it together. Another great friend and a great guitar player, Steve Pfister's in.
Hey now.
And also another great guitarist who was just recently on my show, Richard Gomez. He's in here. And of course, another veteran of my show, David Becker, amazing guitar player with his signature heritage guitar here. Yes. And my good friend Doug Moore's here, and there's a bunch of people outside watching us as we're doing this. So we got a bunch of people here, and I purposely asked a bunch of guitarists here for a specific reason. All of them have desirable Gibsons, and they're Gibson players and experienced Gibson players. And some, like for example, Steve, he represents Godin guitars, but he has a great 335. I'm very jealous of it. And he's played several Les Pauls. He has several Les Pauls. And I think these guys are a good barometer to show you what heritage guitars are about, because as I posted this morning, heritage is the group of luthiers that were the guys that made most of the golden, I call the golden era Gibsons. They were the guys during the late mid-50s to late 60s or 70s. I mean, they were, for a while, the Kalamazoo plant was quite alive. Absolutely. And almost every guitar we've loved and cherished, they're the guys that were making them. So that's, to me, is important. So it's like, you know, it's like old time. It's just, it brings back a lot of memories, because I remember my first Gibson, my Les Paul, and it grew up with me. We all, you know, it's part of our lives. But anyway, Greg's here, and he's going to, I want to talk a little bit about, get a background on the company, and now it's owned by the luthiers. It's owned by them, and they actually have the original Kalamazoo plant. So
absolutely,
it makes a difference. So absolutely. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Well, thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it, and you've given us a chance to tell our part of the story. Mm-hmm. And that's a great thing. Heritage Guitars are an extraordinary guitar. It's an extraordinary company, and it has a story to tell, and we're here to tell it. And that's a great opportunity for us, and we appreciate you giving us this opportunity to share this with your listeners. But basically, the introduction was, it was founded in April 1st, 85, by Jim DeLue, Marv Lamb, J.P. Motes, and Bill Page, joined later that year. They started crafting, building guitars at the 225 Parsons Street, the world-renowned guitar factory. Jim Derlew started in 1958. He worked 21 years at Gibson, 32 years at Heritage, has 53 years at 225 Parsons Street. We have Marvin Lamb, 1956, 29 years at Gibson, 32 years at Heritage, 61 years at 225 Parsons Street, the longest luthier standing in any American-made guitar company today. Marvin Lamb. J.P. Motes, 1957, he was the wood purveyor and, among other things, designed several of the guitars. 28 years at Gibson, 31 years as co-owner of Heritage, and continued until his death in September of 2015, 58 years associated with 225 Parsons Street. Bill Page, 1975, 9 years with Gibson, 32 years at Heritage, 41 total years at the 225 Parsons Street. Now there's a couple of notable employees as well. Rendell Wall, whose father was Rem Wall, who worked at the factory. Rem was Rendell's father, of course, but in 1960, Rendell started 22 years with Gibson, 32 years at Heritage, 54 years at that factory. Then we go to Jack French, who also had family there. 1961, 21 years Gibson, 32 years Heritage, 53 total years at the 225 Parsons Street. So that's a little bit of a scratching the surface on that.
Yeah, well, it's telling me that these guys... they've been around.
And there's more. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
No, that's amazing.
And they're all still here. They're all moving forward.
Now, and we have several of the different models here. They were the guys that made the arch tops and like the ES models, the thin line. And then early on, they were making the earlier Les Pauls, and because you had mentioned at some point Gibson moved the Les Pauls because of the demand to Nashville.
Right. The custom shop were still made in Kalamazoo up until the end, and as that was happening, the Nashville factory was going into production basically for Les Pauls because of the demand.
When did they start making the Les Pauls in Nashville?
Whenever it began, I don't remember the exact date on that, but that was the main focus on that factory was the Les Paul line.
Was that like in the early 70s?
Early 70s. So yeah. Okay. 74 is when the guitars were made in both factories.
Oh, okay.
So the custom shop, some of the guitars, for example, the one, I think it was called the Les Paul Standard 80 Elite, and Standard were made in Kalamazoo.
So they moved, but even in the early 70s, they moved the custom and the standard
to Nashville, and then they augmented that with other lines, the ES line later. I think the dot neck was maybe the first one, the 347 they made, and then also others after that.
Well, in the 60s, when they were making at Kalamazoo, where were they making the flat tops? Were they made in
same factory.
Oh, it was in Kalamazoo.
Same factory. Everything was under that roof at 225 Parsons. They expanded. They kept augmenting the factory. And at one point, there was 1,000 employees at that location.
Wow.
So the guitars in the 60s were selling like snow cones in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And they were geared up for it.
Wow. So now you guys, besides the arch tops and the solid body guitars, you're not making any flat tops, or do you?
Not at this time. We have our eye on that, and there's been some demand for that. But as you know, the folk guitar or the flat top guitar, it's very unique. It's the era of the luthier now and the technique. They have certain guitars that are done on CNC machines. Others are handmade, such as Martin. And so there's a, you know, one side and another. So to get into that market, it takes a lot of research and commitment and really.
And you're focusing on the guitars. You don't make basses.
No.
Did they make basses?
They did make basses
at the Kalamazoo.
Right.
Which is good. I think that's good, because what I'm seeing is you got enough work with just doing these guitars. They're just amazing. And one of the things I wanted to mention, because we had met again over at the LA Amp Show, Lonnie's show, and the finishes on these guitars are to die for. I mean, I have not seen such. I mean, they're really, really, the colors and the flame maple. What you're seeing here is just, it's stunning, and I'm taking pictures, so we'll post these up on there.
Well, the they use the old tried and true methods, materials, and styles. And these guitars are lacquer, nitrocellulose lacquer, mm-hmm. and it's put on in a couple different fogged coats and then buffed to a high gloss, and that's a very time intensive process, drying, curing, and applying, binding, cleaning, all the different things that go into it. But what it does, it causes the wood to vibrates with the wood. Mm-hmm. Is what I mean, in opposed to a poly type finish that doesn't vibrate. So they're using the old methods, the old style. The colors, of course, are vintage. One of the guitars we have here is I call it a 60 cherry, and it was kind of a faded cherry at the time. So we're still doing that color. The guitar Gary has here is faded vintage sunburst. And when it was original, it would have had cherry around the edges, but now it has faded down to almost not even detectable cherry.
Well, Gary was showing us, it's a flame maple top, but when you tilt the guitar, side, the flame disappears. Yeah. It's amazing, because it looks like all of a sudden it's like, where'd it go?
It's there. And one of the jazz guitars we have is that way. We have a clear white curly maple natural here tonight, and that's the same thing. You look at it, and it's very white. You angle it just slightly, and it just looks like a tiger all of a sudden. So that is very, very common with this wood. The wood is tone wood, so we're using hard maple tone wood. We don't use any grade 2 or any of the lower budget or quality woods. They're all high-quality tone wood that has to ring. It has to be weather sensitive and also shock, so it absorbs any shock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key. So that's why these guitars sing. They're brand new. I was talking to the guys earlier out in the lobby about the White Golden Eagle, and I said, it's a brand new guitar. It has no miles on it, but you could drive it to New York tonight. But in a few years from now, it's going to sound even better because that wood is going to envelop, and it's going to start to vibrate, and it's going to start to sound warmer and warmer and warmer as we go.
Well, those guitars, and again, the playability, these necks are like the ones that were to die for, those early 60 dot necks.
Absolutely.
That Les Paul style, which is basically like a 59. Gary had shown me that when I was over at the shop, and it's just beautiful. I mean, the necks kill me. And even on David Becker's signature model, which is basically a 175 with some modifications, beautiful neck. I mean, they're doing them right. And there's, to me, every company, there's no excuse. You got to do it right.
Absolutely. You know, what we did with Gary's guitar was we spec'd it to the sought after 59,
mm-hmm.
the C shape, 17 degree headstock, and the radius, the 111 16ths nut width. That's the magic numbers, and that's what I talk about a little later. Is we went to the magic numbers that made it happen, and you can change the numbers and do different things with the specs, but then you change the playability, you change the sound, you change the resonant, you change everything about the guitar. The dynamics are magic. So we adhere to the old methods, the old tried and true, the materials, the craftsmen, the way they carve that neck. It's made of one piece of mahogany, by the way, this one.
Yes.
One piece mahogany, and it's a Honduran mahogany. On the carved tops, you'll see five-piece curly maple with two stringers of mahogany, and that's solid, hard rock curly maple.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's because we got a lot of guitars here, and I know it goes by real fast. Mm-hmm. Let's start with David Becker's model.
Absolutely.
If there's anything you want to say, and I'll have him play, and then he can talk a little bit more about what he wanted out of the guitar and what you designed for him.
Well, David Becker's guitar is an outstanding guitar. We love it. It's a solid carved spruce top and solid rims and solid carved curly maple back, and it has a mahogany neck, which gives it that warm tone. And again, the rosewood fingerboard, that's a grade 1 rosewood fingerboard, gives it a nice warm tone. Again, 17 degree headstock pitch, and David has come up with a few other items on this guitar. He's using a single pickup in the neck position. That's a Seymour Duncan Jazz custom, wound personally for David, and then he's using the T bridge, which is a transducer bridge with no preamp, so it backs up the pickup. And that's the technical part of it. David can take it from there. He understands it even better.
I had this guitar built because I had a 175 that was made in Kalamazoo, a 68, and I was looking for a solid wood because the 175s are not solid. So I sought out and I met Heritage back in 87. This guitar is almost 30 years old.
Wow.
Actually, it is just about 30 years old. It's, we call it the Million Miler. And, you know, it has the jazz guitar set. You know, that very warm sounding. But I wanted the versatility of having the acoustic pickup, which would also give me some... is it because the wood is so resonant, I've come up with ways to come up with some interesting sounds that most guys wouldn't think of, but because the guitar has the capability, now I can, you know, it's a piece of paper in there, and but you listen to the neck going against the body, how that sounds.
Mm-hmm. Let me take a picture of that.
So you... I'll
do that again.
No, I do it again.
I'm not fast enough,
okay,
sorry.
That's all right. I got to do this.
He's
putting it
prepared
back
guitar here.
Here we go.
David Becker,
prepared. And of course you got the, you know, the sitar sound, which is kind of cool. So it was my desire to have one instrument I could take on the road. And we've logged about 1.5 million miles all over the world with this thing. And it really, regardless of the temperature or the humidity or the cold or whatever, I go from like Norway to, you know, Argentina sometimes, or Indonesia to Houston, and it withstands it, and it's a workhorse. These things are built to last.
Now, I presume you have another model of that, a newer one.
I do, but, and I've played some of the David Becker production models, which are coming out now, and they all play great,
mm-hmm.
but this is the preferred guy that I take out, just because it's I know what I, you know.
But how do they feel?
They feel great. I actually was just in the Midwest doing a tour, and in Milwaukee there was one that was brand new. I picked it up and played it. I could play a gig on one, and I've played at the NAMM show.
Yeah.
They
so you can get
way.
The Absolutely. Sound you want yeah. out of that. And yeah. that's important.
Yeah.
I think
Absolutely.
That's really
the
consistency.
Yeah.
And at the AMP show, I played a bunch of the different guitars. The necks are really consistent. I can't stress that.
And with the piezo pickup, I can also, you know, kind of get this sound, which is great too. Because if I just roll a little bit of the, I've got like an acoustic sound. You can't do that with a 175.
No. And I mean, it gives you the best of both worlds. So you get the acoustic
right.
sound and the other. Now, what's is that just like a PAF style pickup on there, or is that anything special?
No, it's a Bags transducer. It's a piezo, and this is the humbucker. And the reason I didn't have a preamp, some guys say, why didn't you put a preamp in that? Because if you have a preamp in the acoustic pickup, it'll be way over the level of the humbucker. It'll fight it.
Oh, okay.
So what I've learned is that you have to just dial a little bit of it in and out, and you can get some really incredible sounds. If I wanted to go real dark Jim Hall like, but add a little bit of some finger sound, you can still hear the fingers.
So you're using the bags on the on the bridge, but what's
right.
the humbucker? Is
the humbucker's the Seymour Duncan.
Seymour
standard
Duncan.
And that's when I got the guitar back in 88. They weren't using Seymour's, and I went to see Seymour because he's a big fan of Heritage, and he put this in here. It's basically the jazz pickup, which when Heritage went to the Seymour pickups, they went with that particular pickup. So it's basically the same pickup.
Okay.
And
well, that's interesting. That's a great sound.
And it's a loud guitar. I mean, if I played it acoustically, I'll do that in the room here. You can... But it's the juxtaposition of those two woods, of that spruce top and the maple sides and back.
Yeah.
It has a nice resonance to it.
But what I'm seeing too, now you're using you're using with the acoustic pickup, but it a lot of different styles, and you're doing a lot of interesting things that are not standard. But if you were playing in big band, that thing's loud. That'll
yes.
cut. And I want to point that out. That really, a standard rhythm track that you're doing, that would handle it really well.
So. This is just the humbucker now. So if I was in the big band, that kind of stuff, or the fingers, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah, and it's, like I said, it withstands. And the other thing I was mentioning to Steve earlier is that it holds the tuning. Wherever mm-hmm. I go, once I did four TV shows a couple of weeks ago in the Midwest, like morning, you know, shows where the temperature changes in every little corner, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. live TV. So when I would set up for the sound check and do that, I would tune up and I'd go like, okay, I'm good to go, because it's not going to change the tuning, even though the air conditioning is blasting and they've got, you know, mm-hmm. that stuff. And once it's tuned, it's good to go. So
no, it's this guitar. I mean, I've heard him. He was playing all through the at the LA Amp Show, and it just everywhere he played, it's really consistent. It really does the job. It's a great guitar. I really like. I love the neck. I played. I've had the privilege of playing playing his guitar. So, but this is great, and I recommend it for people that it's a great, you know, if you need acoustic tone. And you need the electric tone. You can mix the two. It's really set up and designed right. It's does the job. It's not as elaborate. I mean, some of the heritage guitars, the inlay is to die for, it, and I'm a sucker for inlay. But this thing, it's nice. It's simple to the point. But
that
it does
was what
a job.
I wanted. I wanted something not ornate. I wanted it to be just a workhorse. It looks good, but it
right.
doesn't have the ornamentation that you could have on it. But it does the job. And also, you can. I don't use it a lot for my own music, but I have done studio sessions where I've put both pickups on and put distortion on it and done power chords, and mm-hmm. you think it's a solid body.
Oh yeah,
it has great resonance. So. You know.
It can rock.
Yes,
mm-hmm. it can rock.
If you need it to.
All right. Well, this another one I want to mention, because there's several people here that have Birdlands or Birdland style guitars, and you have a Birdland type of guitar that basically a full scale, because the traditional Gibson Birdland is a short scale. Now we're going to have Greg demonstrate this one, and also too, if anybody feels free to try this. Let's, you know, go around and the other guitarists that are here, Steve and Richard, you know, feel free to voice your opinions of it. Okay, go ahead and play something if you want to. Sounding guitar.
Now that's one just a jazzy kind of sound, but what's cool about this style, and you mentioned Birdland, this is basically a thin golden eagle with a Florentine cover, kind of full
okay,
scale.
So it's a golden eagle is the mod. I'm
right,
sorry.
It's a golden eagle with a Florentine cutaway, and it's thin, and it has a full 25.5-inch scale neck, which is the magic number. The 25.5-inch scale and the 24.75 are the two magic scales in the guitar industry.
Okay, 25.5-inch
right.
scale.
Right.
Fingerboard, and then what's the other one used for? The
24.75 is what you have on the 150, the 535s, and the 575s. That's the 24.75.
3/4. And these are all 22 fret.
These the jazz guitars are 20.
20.
And the other guitars are solid bodies, and the thin lines are 22.
Okay, I'm writing all this down. Is that 24? So 24. Okay, so.
But that was like a jazz kind of a tone, but you can also.
Now, is that both pickups?
Both pickups.
Okay, give me the treble pickup. Guitar. I really like that. I like the full the regular
right.
scale.
And this is that 60s cherry or faded cherry we talked about. It's got cream binding, so it's very, very 60s. And the block inlay, multi-bound throughout. This one is a polished ebony pickguard, multi-bound again. We're using the vintage bridge on this one. And of course, this one has the finger tail, which Kenny Burrell actually was the first to be seen with this in the 50s, late 50s. When he played with Benny Goodman. So Kenny was really the person to see this first, in opposed mm-hmm. to Johnny Smith. So we've been using this on the guitars. This one is a short throw, so it gives more down pressure across the top, which gives you more sustain, more a tighter feel. You get a better action at lower pace. And, of course, this one's a 25.5-inch scale.
You might... Steve Pfister has a 335. You might want to try that type of tailpiece
on... I prefer the trapeze, and I have actually have a 345 as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
The 71.
Oh yeah.
That's the tailpiece. I was talking to David about it earlier, and you can do all sorts of really cool little sitar kind of things with it.
Exactly. The stop bar tail, like the solid bites have, and the 535 dot.
Yeah.
Those have a different sound. Those have a lot of sustain, which is like the other guitar that we'll look at later. Mm-hmm. But the trapeze or the fingertail, this gives you the longest string is the lowest, like a piano would be. And also you have down pressure for each string, so you see the angle across the bridge is going to put the maximum pressure.
Yeah, it gives you more. So
maximum
yeah.
down pressure gives you the maximum sustain and resonance.
Kind of what the Bigsby does on the...
That's been my stop, put the Bigsby on to try to achieve that. Mm-hmm. But that's it. That's the real deal, right?
Absolutely. And it makes a huge... the guitar just lights up. And like David was saying, when you take it off the electronics and you just do it acoustically...
Yeah, it's pretty live.
They sound like guitars. You know, when you play there's an acoustic sound to it, not like, you know.
Grab that. Play a little bit on that. I'm handing it over. I want everybody to try these guitars. That's really the whole thing here. Steve's now trying this guitar. He's setting it up, so let's see how he likes this.
We play Got a Birdland. You got to play some Ted.
There you go. That's
sorry.
Right.
So how do you like that neck?
This one's a little on the 60 and the 50 side.
It's so easy to play.
Breaking up.
I have a habit of doing that.
No, it's not the good distortion, it's the bad distortion there. That's cool. Hand it over to Richard, and then we'll pull one of the other guitars in a second, and we'll get into the other ones. But I just want them all to get a feel of that. He's nodding. Now he's got an Ibanez Birdland style guitar. So how do you like that bigger, the longer neck? It gives you so much room.
Very nice guitar. Beautiful.
Thank you. Well, let's pull out. Which one do you want to pull out now?
We have that 555 30th anniversary.
55. This is a nice guitar.
I brought that one is because you know they celebrated the 30th anniversary in 2015. So this guitar we made. 30 of them, of course, not counting the original prototype. But what made it unique was it has the full binding.
Is it the black one?
It's the black one. Yeah.
The black one.
It's full bound like a Golden Eagle, like we just displayed here. It has the ebony, and it has all the curly maple. It's a curly maple top, back, sides, and a solid mahogany neck. Thank you. Now this one is what we call translucent black. Over curly maple. Here again is your natural wood with a translucent color over it. And finished.
So the top is maple. Everything's maple.
Everything's maple. Sides, top, back, and the neck is solid mahogany.
Let me
mahogany.
Get a copy. I'm going to get a picture of that. Oh, God.
It almost
so
looks
beautiful.
Like an indigo blue.
I don't know if it's going to come out on the picture, but it's beautiful.
But it's first-rate curly maple. They're not hiding the wood. At one point in the guitar history, the dark colors meant the wood was not... graded for a natural or light sunburst, so they would use them for dark colors. And Trans Black was no different, but now Trans Black people want to see the grain through the wood, so that's what we have here. This one has a couple of appointments on it that are upgrades. This has a shallow bridge and a steel tail, which gets it a little more sustained there. Now this one is the 30th anniversary, signed by all the founders. It's also initialed on the treble side of the F-hole here in the wood, like the old violins used to be, with the initials. Plus the inlays are etched with the founders, Kalamazoo history, the years, and a little memorabilia here. So this is a...
I'll have to take, after the show, I'll take a picture of the inlays are beautiful.
Right.
Now, what pickups do you have on there?
This one has a Duncan Seth Lovers, which is
good
the
choice.
Exact, I wouldn't say copy, but the replica of the PAF.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he also makes a 59, which we use in California mainly because it's got that West Coast tone, which is very similar to what David has on his jazz guitar. And that one is different specs, but it has the tone of an old PAF.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference there.
And what was that? Let me get that model number again.
This is an H555, and this one is a 30th anniversary. But the 555 is in production. It's a guitar we do all the time. Gary sells them all. I think he's already sold the one that he had at the show. So these guitars move. This would be Chuck Berry, B.B. King.
Okay.
That's what you would, this is the guitar that they use. But this guitar also is jazz guitar, country. This guitar we call the all occasions.
It's a versatile guitar. Now I want to let Steve grab that thing, and now I'm going to let him rock a little bit more on this one. I just want to get an idea of some of the tone. I'm going
to
put him through the Marshall.
That's the jazzy.
Let's put this into.
Oh, no.
And he can, now I'm using a dirtier sound on the Marshall, but he can show you some of the blues type of, you get some interesting stuff here. He was switching between the two pickups, and it's got the tone. It's a nice sound. I love those pickups. Those pickups are killer.
It's a brand new guitar. It's not a guitar that's played every day. It's
I
a guitar
will be glad to put some mileage on it for you.
I think you'll be spoiled after
gorgeous.
This.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
So the neck is so easy to play. I have not played it till this very second.
No, I know. You just basically, we just had enough time to tune it. There's so many guitars in here. But that thing, it just sounds great.
And it's the versatile instrument, like you're saying. It can play anything from rock to jazz to anything in between. This is incredible. And the finish, we have to stress, there's so much depth. You could almost, it's almost like a...
Yeah, it's like I'm going to have to take a close-up picture
so
of that. The flame maple, the maple on that is just so beautiful. It's a work of art. I mean, it's a great
guitar.
It's
handmade. There's no CNC machinery at the factory. It's all old school. Everything about it, grade one, rosewood and ebony's, the pearl, everything is done the way...
And the response on it is really good. Right. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, because I was in Kalamazoo a couple of weeks ago at the factory, and you just sense, even the younger guys who apprenticed with all the older guys, there's a sense of pride because their fathers and grandfathers worked. In Kalamazoo, it's still guitar building is like, that's what it is. That's what that city
what
is all
do.
About. And the factory celebrating 100 years this year. So that tradition is continuing on, and that's why the consistency is there and the attention to detail.
No, that's true, and a lot of, I've talked to other luthiers, And the guys that I've seen are making really nice guitars in general. They do it by hand, at least the final shaping of the neck. It's by hand, and it's like my dad making spaghetti. It's all by feel.
Yeah.
You ask him, hey, how much? Well, you do this, like a pinch of that. Well, what's a pinch? Well, it's just a pinch. You know, they just know. Go ahead and turn him up a little bit. Richard's trying it.
How do you get that?
Go ahead.
Real quick question. That seems like the headstocks are a little bit longer. It looks great. But
on the jazz guitars, they have the larger headstock. And on this 30th anniversary, that was one of the features of this guitar. This comes with the larger headstock on this model. Otherwise, it's the headstock on this 150 Special California that Gary has here. And that's the standard headstock.
Okay.
And is there an advantage, more sustain? Or
Not technically. It's just as there's a little more down pressure with the longer, because longer more throw, it's a little wider. It's also a different wood. That's a maple. Yeah. This would be a mahogany.
Right. So it's a different degree.
Exactly.
Right. Now, Richard, how did you like that neck?
Oh, amazing.
Now, this neck is patterned after the 59 dot neck.
Right.
That's
right.
The foundation of this model. And that's true with our 535 and 555s alike. One thing I might interject real quick here, Jeff, is, you know, Orville Gibson's mission was to build an instrument that had a musical purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that is carried on with Heritage today. They make instruments with a musical purpose, and they use that like, again, tried and true, the old numbers.
Yeah, well, no, this is what I hate to say it, there's no excuse. That's the neck everybody wanted. I've seen people make reissues, and I've seen stuff done where, you know, this is like a 60s neck. No, it's not. That's a 60s neck, and there's a definite shape to it, and they were fast. If whether it's a Fender or a Gibson or whatever it was, those guitars played great.
You know, using the proper lacquer and like saying how the guitar breathes with its age.
Right.
I mean, that's why new guitars they're almost soulless because of the way, they're not going to break in. They're always going to sound the same. And that's why we all love the old vintage guitars, mm-hmm. because they've aged with us. They vibrated right along with us. And you get a good one, here it is, case in point.
Yeah,
and the neck shape.
It's,
you know, there's something about CNC machines too. Okay, it's really great. But there's something kind of soulless about the whole thing. And when you get an instrument like these are very elite and beautiful. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you.
Yeah. The fact is that you're with the lacquer and things.
As much as they're beautiful and just nice to look at and hang up on the wall, they're meant to be played.
Yeah.
Exactly. These are these are work instruments. These are gigging instruments. Mm. Now, since we've been doing kind of the rock thing, let's go ahead to this, I'm forgetting the numbers.
This one,
the 59.
This one's an H150. And what we did with this, we were looking for something to come out because we just celebrated the 30th anniversary, so we wanted to have a guitar. But to make a big commitment for a new model or do anything like that, we didn't want to get into that. So I talked with Gary, and I said, "What if we put together a special run of a very special vintage guitar, very 59?" And Gary was up for it, and what we call this is the H150, because that's the model it is, and it's a special California. Only six of them made in the whole state, and this one is as 59 as we can get. It's faded cherry.
Stick it out a little bit. I'm trying to get beyond the mic stand.
Sorry,
it's hard to see.
This one is faded cherry, back and neck. The top, as I mentioned earlier, is what we call vintage sunburst, which would be a cherry sunburst around the edges and yellowish orange in the middle. But being faded, it would lose that reddish color. This is rosewood grade one again with the old pearly inlays.
Mm-hmm.
The trap inlays, but they're made of the old pearl. They're not the new plastics.
So it's real pearl.
It's real pearl, right? The neck, again, is the one-piece mahogany neck, Honduran mahogany, 17-degree head pitch, 1 11/16. The C-shaped neck of the one we just talked about, the 59 feel, this is the sought-after neck shape.
Mm-hmm.
And the top, curly maple, book-matched, and stop bar tail. Now, Gary's going to talk about some of the other things on this. He has a different pickup arrangement and the hardware to this. And what he did was sought out a few things that we don't do here in California, but Gary had some influential people elsewhere that really knew what was going on. So maybe I should have Gary talk about...
Let me get Gary's mic on.
Trying to upgrade a little bit, get it more like a vintage vibe. And we picked up a couple of pickup builders. They're doing like a real PAF clones. One guy is outside of here in UK, making really close to the vintage correct PAF. Another guy we just spotted is a local guy from Orange County. It's Howard Alliate, and he made us the clone of the PAFs, and we put on his guitar and compare with another one. And I was shocked. I could not even say which one I like better, because before I've been liking those, but when I tried these, it's like a wow. It's more open. It's like a more dynamic and more like alive, you know. So far we put those pickups and matched them, and of course we upgraded hardware. Because all vintage hardware is good, but sometimes people rusted them and those screws doesn't work well, so they go extreme. So we just put the, like, a Tone Pros. It's like adjustable and locked neck bridge and the tailpiece, mm-hmm. which allow you to keep the guitar in modern condition. But overall, like, the neck and respond and pickup and everything up to the scale. And we upgrade electronic a little bit. We put the old caps, like a oil and paper, mm-hmm. like a old school from 50s, you know, which... hard to get, and it's overall adds up some kind of extra type of life to that, you know, an extra organic type of feeling.
No, I played these are beautiful. They play great.
When we first put this together, we had Bumblebee caps and Black Beauty caps, and we had Duncan Antiquities in it. And Gary said he has some Russian caps that he had, and we were talking about that. I think it was military grade.
Yes,
something that he found that's in this. This thing sings. I mean, that's on.
You got to put that one in the Marshall. Les Pauls were made for Marshalls.
Bring this one.
And also too, the Howard's pickups. I just want to mention he was on the show. He's made pickups for Wilkins basses, and he makes them great. I mean, they're amazing. I was just impressed.
He's obsessed guy. He's really honest. So he's making pickups, and he's proud of that, and he like enjoying to make them.
Yes.
So it's not just he building them. He just art guy. So he's always creative, you know.
All right,
well,
Steve.
First of all, observation, it balances really, really well. I mean, it's a lot of Les Pauls will go boom like that.
Yeah. Mine does.
This is just... I've had a couple that have done that, too. You know. And I first got turned on to this particular model from Gary Moore.
Oh, yeah.
And in my book, you can't go wrong. Yeah. But this, the neck, it doesn't feel huge like some of the 59... You know, sometimes their baseball bat, this feels really good. Oh, jeez.
Thank you.
keep going. But I want to, we're almost out of time. So what I want to do is bring one of the, let's bring one of the jazz guitars, which okay. are really
the Golden Eagle would be great.
Okay, which one's that?
That's the white one.
The white one.
I wanted just to say real quickly, Jeff, my guitar, the David Becker, is actually 3 inches deep, whereas the 575 is 2 3/4, and I had that done just to have a little extra depth.
Right.
And I am actually signing the David Becker models. There's a limited amount, so if somebody orders one now, they'll get a signature. They'll get the name on there, but they'll actually get my signature. I just want to let people
right.
know that. So.
And I can't stress enough, this guitar is the David Becker model. It's a really versatile guitar, and if you're one of those guys that you're flying a lot and you just can't carry a lot of guitars and you're not as crazy as I am where you've got to have a bunch of guitars with you, that's a great all-around guitar. It functions both ways. Oh, this thing, I'm in love with this guitar. The inlay on this is to die for.
We were talking about this one earlier as this white natural. So this is called Clear White Curly Maple Natural, back, sides, and neck. And these are all solid woods. This is carved. This arch is carved. It's not bent. And it's exactly. got that look to it. So it looks plain, and then you turn it, and it looks like a tiger stripe. And the rims, same thing.
And it's a five-piece neck, right?
Yes,
the way it's
lined.
You see,
neck,
you can
right.
see. I want to try to
right.
get a shot of that.
Right. This is.
It's beautiful. I mean, that's my Barney Kessel. Mm-hmm. I have an early mm-hmm. Barney Kessel that's got
it.
That type of
exactly.
neck.
Exactly. Two mahogany stringers with the curly maple on the side, and again, this has the we call it the stinger headstock in the back. And that's actually inlaid. That's not painted. That's actually inlaid veneer in that. So this is quite some craftsmanship.
Does that strengthen it? Because I notice your necks are thin, and that was a problem yeah. with the early Gibsons. Mm-hmm. They would snap there.
That was part of it. There was a lot of reasons for that. But, I mean, there's still a wood product, and there's still, you know, a lot of tension. But when you crank this to 17 degrees, it actually strengthens the wood. It makes it the
up. Yeah, that's
you know,
very
if you take
cool.
that away, it makes it a little unstable. But this is special because it has AAA grade spruce. We talked earlier, it's very close grain. You can see it's flawless spruce top carved again. And this is grade one ebony, and all the inlays are abalone. That's what makes this one.
Oh,
different.
God, it's beautiful.
So you have abalone, very colorful abalone, and it's not the synthetic, it's actual.
It's the real
it's
stuff.
The real
so
stuff.
Go ahead and play this real quick, and then we'll pass it around. Pickups are on there. Are there anything special?
This one is the Duncan 59s.
Duncan 59s.
And I prefer those myself because of the tone. You can pull them down. You have plenty of power, so you pull them down to about 7 or 8 on a jazz guitar, and they work perfect. They give you the jazz sound. The other thing, that's the tone. It's got the warm, vintage
God, that's
tone.
It is. That It's a great sound. It's a little thinner than the older... The original jazz. I mean, that's like
yeah.
A,
this is 3-inch, like David was mentioning. That's kind of the ultima. Now the L5s, for example, and the 400s were 3 3/4.
Right, they were thicker.
They were a little bit more, and they were a little more bubbly right. on that. So they did have a little darker tone, but they didn't have the sustain in the upper register. So when you hit the higher notes, you don't have this.
Balance sound to it.
All the way up. Yeah, same with mine.
Well, absolutely. We're out of time. I told you it'd go by real fast, but that just means you have to come back because we have way many more guitars. We could spend days playing all these guitars, and we're going to definitely
well,
have to have
we knew everything. We would just scratch the surface.
But right,
really
but it was.
It.
Now, what I want to do real quick before we go is www.stevefister.com. Steve, anything coming up that you want to mention real quick?
Just go to the website and it'll tell you about all the gigs, and we got a new record coming out.
Yeah, it's got a new live record coming out. I'm excited about that.
Just go to the website.
www.richardgomez.com. Anything coming up that you want to mention real quick?
Yes, I'm working with my new trio and I'm very excited about it. So hopefully we're going to be playing soon.
Okay. Sounds good. And then DavidBeckerTribune.com. Anything coming up?
Yeah, we've got a live record that we recorded down in New Zealand last year that will be coming out. And we did a studio version of one of the tunes. So look for that later this year, early next year.
And Gary, what's going on over at the Bass Exchange?
Everything is going on, guys. Every single day. Just come in and all the something's cooking.
And that's www.bassexchange.com. And, of course, heritageguitar.com.
But we have on Wednesday this week, we have the clinic of Heritage Guitar with David Becker in our store. 7 o'clock, 7 p.m., 2 days from today.
All right.
7 p.m. on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, yeah.
Definitely. If you guys haven't seen the clinic, what Dave does is amazing, and you just got to hear him just play this beautiful, this guitar, and him playing is just amazing. It was a real treat to see him play over at the amp show. And yes, heritageguitar.com, stevefister.com, bassexchange.com, davidbeckertribune.com, richardgomez.com. To take us out, since there's three guitars and three amps, you know what we're going to do. We're going to jam out. So thank you again, Greg. It was a pleasure. Steve, David, Richard, Lori, Doug, outside, Jeff, and Rosalind, and Gary. So everybody have a great week, and we'll see you next week.